Welcome to Brick House with Bob Johnson and Matt Baker. Brick House. Hey, we're back. Another episode of Brick House Podcast. I'm Bob Johnson.
And I'm Matt Baker. Happy Hanukkah, Bob.
L'chaim.
Yeah, you got your menorah tree over there and your, I don't know, eight crazy nights.
We decided to celebrate Hanukkah this week for all of our Jewish listeners and for those just, you know, wanting to hear us talk about eight big topics in the NBA this year.
For all our Jewish listeners and those listeners who have that coexist bumper sticker where they slap all the religions onto that one bumper sticker.
Eight big stories of the week. So let's not waste any time. Let's get right into them. Number one, perhaps you've heard the Bulls fired their head coach, Fred Hoiberg, this week, Matt.
Yeah.
The Packers fired their coach and the Bulls fired their coach.
Mm-hmm.
Hoiberg's stint with the Bulls didn't go as he had hoped, I'm guessing. He replaced Tibbs, and Hoiberg was supposed to be the embodiment of the player's coach.
Right.
The opposite of Tibbs, and that he didn't yell himself hoarse berating his point guard or play all of his starters 48 minutes a game.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed clear over the years now that the players never respected him. I think they went too far in the opposite direction of the pendulum there. Via The Athletic, I was reading about how the players treated Hoiberg.
Right.
Do you know a player named Antonio Blakeney?
Sure, Memphis. LSU, right?
Well, you're an NBA nerd, so you would know a player.
Hey,
watch it, fella. A third-string guard like Blakeney. But most guys probably wouldn't.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, in a mid-November game against Milwaukee this year, Hoiberg subbed out third-string guy on a five-win team, Antonio Blakeney. And Blakeney said to the coach in front of the entire bench,
"Okay,
why the fuck are you taking me out?"
Solid.
Led the Athletic writer to postulate that if that's what Blakeney can get away saying to the coach in front of everyone, imagine what Zach LaVine can say.
When you have a chance to leave a guy in who hasn't started any games and only played 42 over the past two seasons combined, you better leave him in, Bob. That's rule number one if you're going to be a coach. I thought this firing makes sense when you realize that Hoiberg might actually be a good coach, but the Bulls haven't been interested in being good for years.
Right.
Like, it kind of goes against all they've been standing, all they've wanted.
Yeah, in 2016, they were so patient in not spending money on big free agents or blowing money. This was the summer of Timofey Mozgov and Miles Plumlee and crazy contracts given to everybody. The Bulls restrained themselves. They had Hoiberg. They wanted to try this pace and space offense that he's notorious. That's the reason they hired him, is to run this offense, to move up and down the floor. And then at the 11th hour, gave like $40 million to Rondo and Dwayne Wade to be the backcourt in Chicago.
Yeah.
Both of whom can't shoot.
Yeah.
Not interested in running.
Right.
Joke's on everyone else, though. Hoiberg's contract, $25 million, 100% guaranteed.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't help but notice, though, that Hoiberg was fired the day before Lauri Markkanen made his return to the Bulls lineup.
You think there's something going on there?
Zach Lowe heard through the grapevine that maybe it was the right time to fire Hoiberg, because if Markkanen came back and they started winning games and then they fired Hoiberg, it's a little too transparent in their tanking goals.
Yeah.
Although I don't know what that says about Jim Boylan and how the Bulls feel about him as the head coach going forward.
I think they said that he's not the interim. So they're just like allowing him to be the tank master general on this thing. And they probably don't have to pay him a lot. So it makes sense that you just kind of ride him out until you realize that you're ready to de-tank.
If anything, maybe they just got Boylan so he could stand up to bullies like Antonio Blakeney.
Yeah, right.
Apparently, Boylan is a, quote, more passionate in-game coach, and he's already met with each player individually in their hotel rooms in Indianapolis, and they're on a road trip. He's already moved struggling Jabari Parker out of the starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's coming off the bench behind Markkanen. I mean, it would be foolish to start Parker over Markkanen.
One thing I saw about Fred Hoiberg is he had exactly as many wins as the Bulls head coach as he did as Iowa State's head coach, which you're thinking, well, he had 115 wins in 5 years at Iowa State, and he had 115 wins at Chicago in like less than 3.5 years. But then you realize they play over twice as many games at Chicago. A theory I had about why they don't respect Hoiberg. So his career ended in 2004-05, okay?
Okay.
So, let's say when these kids, LaVine would have been 10 or 11 at that point.
Mm-hmm.
This is basically the beginning of prime NBA Live, NBA 2K playing. So they would have just started discovering this game. To them, he's just a random 65 overall dude coming off the bench. So it's not like they're being coached by a starter who was even like in the 80s, an 83 overall. No, this is a solid, probably in the high 60s, low 70s, if that, bench guy that you would just come in and you knew all he could do was jack threes. So if you never respect him in video games, how are you going to respect him in real life, Bob?
Yeah, that, and he looks like your CPA.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Okay, story number two, Kawhi Leonard signs a new deal with New Balance.
Oh, wow.
I'm a fun guy. Obviously, I love the game of basketball.
So just the other night, Kawhi showed up head to toe in New Balance gear.
Amazing.
He had the tracksuit on, black and white.
Yeah.
Couldn't help but notice it looked exactly like a Spurs warm-up gear in that color pattern.
Sure.
The deal is reportedly worth over $5 million a year, according to ESPN's Nick DePaula, much more than over $5 million a year, which I would hope, because the deal he left on the table with Jordan Brand was for 4 years and $20 million. I'm no math genius, but that equates to about $5 million a year. The deal actually gave me more hope than ever before that Kawhi could sign with the Los Angeles Clippers.
Okay, tell me why.
He clearly doesn't care about name brands or what looks cool.
Yeah.
Which is great news for LA Clippers fans.
Well, I thought this signing perfectly encapsulates Kawhi, because he's boring, but like I feel comfortable when he has the basketball.
Okay.
Like with New Balance, they're really boring, but they're just so comfortable that I can't help but want to wear them all the time. And also, all of our dads need a favorite basketball player, so it fits perfectly that he could become our father's favorite basketball player.
Maybe our dads will start rocking cornrows.
Yeah. He should get like cornrows, but in NB, like put the NB in his cornrows, just go full out. Like it's almost like a jersey sponsor, but it's a hair sponsor.
Oh, I don't remember if that's against the NBA rules or not, because you can't get a tattoo of a sponsor. And I think there was an issue with it last year. Somebody was putting like the Adidas stripes in his hair.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Well, they're just protecting the athlete. Cause if you get a Nike tattoo, you give all the leverage to Nike. Like once it comes time to renegotiate, because you've already put your brand on their brand on your skin, so why do they need to give you any more money?
They could change that Nike check mark to I Heart Winona Ryder forever.
I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard would be the first NBA player with a New Balance deal since James Worthy.
Okay. Yeah, Worthy seems New Balance-y to me.
So there's a few players that New Balance went after this summer and struck out on. The first one, it's kind of embarrassing that they struck out, Kelly Oubre Jr.
Oh, no.
He signed with Converse instead, who is now owned by Nike. They wanted Oubre Jr., Converse, to rock the Converse, you know, formal wear or, you know, street wear.
Converse formal wear, yes. Tell me more about this.
I wore Chuck Taylor's to my brother-in-law's wedding.
Okay, all right. I thought you meant like they were making suits, but yes, I'll allow that. Yeah, Chuck Taylor's.
I mean, they're just charging $400 for sneakers. That that's what makes them formal. They cost more than your loafers.
Right.
So he's wearing Nike in the game, Converse off the floor. Gordon Hayward was courted by New Balance.
They just had their third child, so he's a father. He's got the dad.
Yeah.
He probably is good with the dad jokes.
And the New Balance just sponsored the Celtics' new practice facility.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Didn't stop Gordon Hayward from signing with Chinese shoe brand Anta.
They love those Chinese shoe brands.
Joel Embiid also took a meeting with New Balance.
Amazing.
But signed a 5-year deal with Under Armour. Unknown how much it's for, but reportedly much, much more than the $5 million going to Kawhi. Let's keep it moving, though. Eight Nights. Joakim Noah newest member of the Memphis Grizzlies.
My first question, Bob, is do the Grizzlies know this?
Yeah, when I read that Joakim Noah is 33 years old and just thought, man, LeBron James is really thriving at 33 while mm-hmm. his peers are dropping like flies.
Really are.
Maybe they signed him because of all the grit and grime in Joakim Noah's beard and
oh,
hair.
Oh, gosh, yeah. That's a good one. I didn't even think about that. When does he get cleared? When can we see some on-court action?
I think he's playing tonight versus the Clippers. I have to double check.
It's funny, but like 4 years ago, he would have been perfect for the Grizzlies. I mean, granted, 4 years ago, he was coming off an all-NBA first team, and he would have been for a lot of teams, but...
I was really trying to think of some reasons why the Grizzlies would do this. I mean, they don't really need a backup center.
Mm-hmm.
They got Jaren Jackson Jr. in the draft this year. Maybe Joakim Noah, he's been traveling a bunch this summer, bunch of tropical locations.
Yeah.
Clearly on some medicinal in some of his Instagram videos.
I would say so.
Maybe he's found a magical weed strain that could somehow nurse Chandler Parsons back to health.
Oh, this is okay. Oh, so you're thinking, okay, you're not thinking about his on-court, but you're thinking about his what he brings to the team.
He looks like a shaman of sorts, a medicine man.
Right.
Now, they got Noah for the prorated veterans minimum, which is $1.73 million.
Which is fine because the Knicks are still paying him a whole bunch of money, Bob.
Yeah, that means that the Knicks, who still owe him $37.8 million,
yeah, sure,
save $190,000 this year because of the Memphis signing. So
amazing. That's when you're MSG and you're that whole corporation, when you can save $200,000, you gotta do it. I did hear that people were trying to think, well, maybe he should go back and play for Donovan at OKC, right?
Oh, uh-huh.
Maybe he should go to the Thunder. And from what I understand, Donovan was like, hey, pal, I'm getting fired at the end of the season anyway. I don't need you to get me fired halfway through the season.
They've already got their Nerlens Noel doing a Joakim Noah impersonation.
I don't need your help getting fired.
Noah did not overwhelm in New York. He averaged 5 points, 8.8 rebounds his first season, and then 1.7 points, 2 rebounds in only 7 games.
When you give a nomad, a drifter through life, $80 million, like you 100% expect him to be fully present on the court all the time.
It'll be interesting to see where this goes. Still, a lot of shade being thrown at the Grizzlies. I'm reading the playoff predictions in this very crowded Western mm-hmm. Conference. Naturally, there's going to be, five disappointed teams? No,
sure.
6 disappointed teams, 7 disappointed teams that don't make the Western Conference playoffs?
6 in Phoenix,
Next segment. Are the Wizards trading their backcourt? The Wizards are 4-2 mm-hmm. since starting the season, 6-12, which could lessen their desire to blow up the roster.
Mm-hmm.
But Grunfeld did announce last week that they're open to all your trade offers. So
sure.
Come one, come all.
I would always be open. That's a Danny Ainge strategy right there.
Now, the Wizards are hard to predict what they'll do. Currently, there's betting odds on where these players are going to go. The Toronto Raptors are the current favorites to land Bradley Beal.
Toronto Raptors, okay.
Which I wouldn't put too much stock into, except the Toronto Raptors were the betting favorites to land Kawhi Leonard this summer, right before that happened, so we'll see. There was a couple of reports about rumored John Wall trades. Have you heard about these?
Give them to me.
It starts with the New York Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks reportedly would offer Frank Ntilikina, Damian Dotson, Courtney Lee, and a 2020 first and second round pick in exchange for John Wall.
Okay.
The article I read about this said that Wall played really well at MSG this past week, which got the Knicks talking.
Yeah, of course. Sure. Everybody forgets about every player until they play well at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, Wall had 18 points, 15 assists, and a Wizards road win. He barely beat the tanking Knicks on the road.
But he played great.
I can't understand. In the article, it said that, you know, this is something that the Knicks have offered. It remains to be seen if the Wizards would accept this.
Mm-hmm.
To which I said, what?
Yeah. This whole thing, every time I think about the Wizards and their backcourt trading, it just surprises me that Dwight Howard, Jeff Green, and Austin Rivers didn't help this situation at all.
Yeah.
It really, when I thought it was a shoe-in that those three guys were going to just come in and completely change the trajectory of this franchise.
Yeah, good point. Another trade rumor that came from a very trusted source, some dude on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
He reported that the Lakers are made an offer for John Wall. Now, let's not forget John Wall, now represented by Rich Paul, same agent as LeBron James, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who's involved.
Mm-hmm.
According to this guy on Twitter, the Lakers were offering Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope for the Wizards' John Wall. Do you know how I know this isn't true, Matt?
Because the Wizards didn't instantly accept it?
Exactly. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, the sources say that Rich Paul may be trying to get John Wall to the Lakers, and that Wall would, one, waive his 15% trade kicker if it came to the Lakers.
Okay. Which is Lakers, maybe.
Which is a massive trade kicker.
That's what, like $6 million a year or something?
Then also, the deal would not be possible until December 15th because of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's inclusion, because he was just signed this summer, so you can't trade him until the 15th. But the thought process is that Rich Paul would push for this trade because John Wall's on board with it, but also because he's afraid that the whole new crop of young free agents has no interest in playing with LeBron James.
Oh, interesting.
He would almost have to know that for this trade to actually go through, because it would leave L.A. with only $15 million to go after free agents next year.
Right.
It rules out Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant. Also, it would be trading their best trade assets that could be used in a deal to get someone like Anthony Davis this summer or, you know, about this time next year.
Yeah, he would have to be aware of something.
There would be the silver lining of John Wall reunited with JaVale McGee. That would be worth some entertainment dollars. I don't know if you saw, LeBron just tweeted this morning that he slept through the Lakers' Christmas party. And I thought, maybe that's because he's planning on putting Cole in his teammate's stockings.
That is true.
It's been real 25 games, Lonzo.
That's
but
a power
you get to
move.
Play with Dwight Howard now.
Big time power move right there.
Is there anybody that would trade for John Wall? I got a couple of trade scenarios for you. Mm-hmm. Let's say you're running the Minnesota Timberwolves. Andrew Wiggins and Gorgie Jang for John Wall. Both guys, bloated contracts. We know Wall's got a big one as well. Contract.
Yeah. Well, they would still have old Jeff Teague.
Oh, that's true.
They have a lot of money tied into him. But I don't know.
Move it around and try and make any combination of players that you would trade for John Wall.
Some sort of like random Wiggins, Teague, Dang and something for Porter and Wall, or like just get the. I want to see the biggest contract trade ever.
Well, that's definitely going to happen in the next year or two. You'll see hundreds of millions being swapped. Well, how about something a little closer to home? What about Trevor Ariza, Ryan Anderson, Dragon Bender for John Wall? As a Suns fan, you want to see that happen?
Pass.
Those guys are all on. Well, Ryan Anderson and Ariza on soon-to-be-expiring deals.
Yeah, I think Ariza might actually be something that you can get something for this trade deadline.
Something that's not John Wall.
Yes, something that's not $40 million a year.
Well, good luck to him. I can't wait to see what happens. Let's go on to our next one, number five topic of the Hanukkah week. Chris Paul's confidence. Through the roof. Even after a very disconcerting loss on the road to the Minnesota Timberwolves, a loss in which the Rockets were up 19 points in the first half and then proceeded to score all of 29 points in the second half.
Sure.
Chris Paul scored 5 points, fewest points in a game in over a year, also 1 of 7 on threes, and turned the ball over 5 times. You know what he said after that game?
What is that?
I'm still not that concerned. Someone's got to beat us 4 out of 7 games. I don't see that happening.
I think he's right, because it won't take them 7 to beat them 4. That's actually where I think he's correct.
No one can beat them in a 7-game series if they're 13th in the Western Conference.
That's true. I think it's good for their workshopping his new nickname. It's CP Won't Win 3.
Ugh.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I love Chris Paul, but let's concentrate on making the playoffs here first, dude.
Yeah.
He did say the return of Nene will give the team a boost of confidence.
Sure.
No kidding. Nene coming back doesn't mean it's a good time to start trolling the Warriors. Yeah. Big news this week, Nikola Jokic having a
big news.
Great, great season. A great performance on a road win against the Toronto Raptors this week.
Mm-hmm.
He had a triple-double against the Raptors, Matt. 23 points, 15 assists, 11 rebounds, 2 steals. He was plus 15 in 36 minutes on the court. Did you know there have been 3 15-assist games by a starting center in the last 20 seasons?
Wow.
Only 3. Nikola Jokic has all 3.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, he's averaging 7.5 assists per game, more than LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Giannis Antetokounmpo. And the next closest center is Anthony Davis with 4.8.
Can't we just do a Westbrook with him and get him to average a triple-double for the season? I mean, I know that Denver actually is like a better team than Oklahoma City was when Westbrook was doing that, but I still think we can make it happen.
He's had like 5 double-doubles this year,
mm-hmm,
with rebounds and assists and not points.
Yeah, that's insane. It's almost like it's amazing, but also at the same time, you're 7 foot, 250 pounds. There's no excuse that you shouldn't have at least 10 points every game. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But I don't think that lessens how great he's doing in all facets of the game.
Yeah, he's waiting for his shoe contract to be up so he can end his deal with the Cinderblock company.
Yeah, right. His nickname, one of his nicknames on Basketball Reference is Big Honey. You ever heard that nickname?
No, but
me
I love
neither,
it.
But there we go.
This next story is possibly the biggest one of the week. Markelle Fultz, man, mm-hmm, he's got a new diagnosis, which is called neurogenic thoracic outlet syndrome.
Bob.
You know.
Yeah, no, I just want to state right away that we here at Brick House do not think it's funny to make fun of people's medical conditions.
Okay.
We do think it's funny to make fun of something that actually doesn't exist and is not a medical condition.
Listen to an actual yeah, quote from right, his agent slash attorney, Raymond yeah, Brothers.
Agent slash attorney slash physician slash we got to figure out what's going on here, guy.
This is an attorney. Attorneys argue for a living and try and make things sound credible. This is what he said. People were saying it was a mental problem, and it's not. There's no way you're the number one pick in the world and all of a sudden you aren't able to consistently raise your arms to shoot. Something is physically wrong. Now we have the answer to that problem.
Yeah, do we? That's really okay. So from what I understand of what this is, it's like the space between his neck and his chest, right? You can't see because it's a podcast, but like right here, is this like...
Yeah, near the collarbone.
Collarbone?
Okay.
So they say it's tight and it's affecting like his range of motion or something. How is it? Is he out there like bench pressing 350 pounds constantly to where he's constantly tight? Like is there an associated breathing technique that you can do with this?
I think one of the telltale signs is that Fultz saw upwards of 10 specialists dating back to at least the start of the offseason, and after his appointment, it was the first time that not playing was a recommendation. They just kept going to doctors until someone told them something that they wanted to hear.
Well, yeah, or made up a thing that so no one would question it. Like, who's going to question thoracic outlet syndrome? Because no one's ever heard of it, right?
I bet you some people that are questioning it are, members of the Philadelphia 76ers executive team. Although they might not do it, outright. Not good for his trade value.
Listen, this is just another reason why it was tragic to get rid of Colangelo and his burner accounts. Think of all the thoracic outlet syndrome burner account material that we're missing out on right now.
Yeah, well, he would probably be publicly shaming him, benching him, and then making up fake trade rumors, mm-hmm, about the almost trades that he had for Markelle Fultz.
He's in L.A., and he's going to be working out with a physical therapist who used to be employed by the Lakers, who worked with Kobe and Elton Brand out here.
Yeah,
Judy Seto. I hope whatever she agreement she came to results in a lot of money for her having to agree to whatever they want her to agree to.
Yeah, I think the most troublesome thing is that he's just working out away from the team.
Mm-hmm. Okay, serious question. Is this worse than Anthony Bennett? Like, Bennett was just a big fat guy who couldn't play and was kind of like a baby, right?
Bennett wasn't the unanimous first pick in the draft.
Right, it was...
Or everybody but Danny Ainge's unanimous first pick in the draft.
Right.
In fact,
Dan Gilbert.
Well, I meant Danny Ainge. You know, he didn't think Markelle was
Markelle.
Worth it.
Yeah, sorry, I thought you were talking about Anthony Bennett.
But yeah, Dan Gilbert and the Cavs really reached on Anthony Bennett that year.
Right, I mean, it was a bad year, but still, they reached in the bad year. All right, well... Best of luck to future Phoenix Sun Markelle Fultz. We're rooting for you, buddy. I mean, hey, Suns have the best athletic training staff, and it actually might be bad for Fultz to come to the Suns because the training staff is so good that they will just be like, that's not a thing, that's not a thing. He's like, it's a thing. He's like, that's not a thing. Like, we're good at this. We know this is not a thing.
Let's start with some breathing exercises. Yeah. Burn a little incense. Okay, number eight story of the week, Steph Curry. Learns from a 9-year-old girl how to possibly double his money.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Curry got a handwritten letter this week from a 9-year-old girl named Riley, no relation.
Oh, wow. Coincidence.
Asking why the Curry Fives aren't available for girls.
It's a very valid question, Bob.
Curry said, she opened my eyes, the company's eyes, to how to get better and make some quick changes. Because she spoke up. That's a lesson in itself right there.
Sorry, I thought you said, we're just going to say to get better and make a whole bunch more money. Quick changes.
Do you know how they solved this problem for young Riley?
Did they just like draw with pink highlighter on his shoes?
No, they didn't even put that much effort in.
Okay.
They went and Curry wrote back to Riley, handwritten letter himself, saying that, unfortunately, we've labeled smaller sizes on the website as boys, when really we're changing it to grade school.
Okay.
It's a unisex shoe, Matt. Yeah. When I saw this headline, I thought to myself, wait a minute. What stops women from wearing men's basketball shoes?
Yeah, no, that's the that's my first thought on this whole thing was, oh yeah, no, why isn't there girls' shoes? And then it was like, oh wait, there already is, you moron! Like yeah. You don't walk into a I don't know where do people buy shoes?
Foot Locker.
I only do Amazon these days. You don't walk into I guess they have women's Foot Locker. All right, another example. You don't walk into WSS, right?
Uh-huh.
Granted, they have men's and women's locations, but if you're a woman and you try and buy like Kobe's, like sorry, miss, you can't buy the Kobe's.
Yeah, I did some research. If you go on Nike.com, you can get a quote-unquote women's Kobe shoe.
Sure.
Doesn't look anything different than the men's shoe. It's just, you know, custom order. You can custom all the colors and stuff. You can. The only difference I read that is the sizing. And not only, like, the length of the shoe, but typically the women's shoes run more narrow than a man's shoe.
Okay, right.
However, women that play basketball are usually much taller, have bigger feet.
Yeah.
LeBron James just released a LeBron James signature shoe exclusively for women
the ladies.
This
okay.
past September. Not only is it for women, designed by women, not one woman fashion designer, Matt, but three. I hadn't seen this shoe before. Not a big fan of LeBron's men's shoes, personally.
Okay.
Not for me.
Right.
I understand that they're very popular, giving him a billion-dollar lifetime deal and so on.
Mm-hmm.
The woman's shoe is pretty hideous.
I'm just glad that you're an equal opportunity shoe hater, Bob. It's very nice to know.
I'm not the only one who thinks so.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a giant lion on the back heel. The laces tie not on like the tongue of the shoe, but around the back.
Do they tie in little flowers and things like that?
Not even.
Yeah.
It does have a belt added to it, though, that looks completely out of place, that goes around the ankle, almost like a Roman sandal.
I'm looking at them right now. They are completely ridiculous.
Yes.
Yeah.
The women who designed it said they wanted the belt. Oh, first of all, never designed a shoe before, these three women. I mean, they're renowned fashion designers of women's wear, but
yeah.
First time with a shoe. They said they wanted the belt to be made by Cartier.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if that ended up being a thing, but Nike looked into it.
Yeah, why have an affordable woman's shoe and you can have like a $4,000 Cartier belt woman's shoe? Yeah. This Steph Curry thing, all I could think is it's just one more thing for Charles Barkley to go on and be like, see, I told you this was a weak jump shot shooting woman shoe creating team that would never hang with us in the 90s.
Yeah, Nike did do a signature shoe all the way back in 1996 for Cheryl Swoops.
Oh, yeah, sure. That makes sense.
But never really took off.
Lisa Leslie didn't get a shoe, or?
Lisa Leslie and Dawn Staley each had their own shoe. Okay. And now Adidas is unveiling a new Candace Parker signature shoe. Los Angeles Sparks star.
That's cool. Taurasi or Griner, nothing for them?
Not that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
So happy Hanukkah, NBA fans. Let's get into our diss of the week.
Yeah, before you do that, I was going to say, is there a lead-in? Is there some, pardon me for my lack of Hanukkah knowledge, but is there some eighth day like celebration that they do at the end of Hanukkah that we can call the diss of the week segment?
They light all the lights on the menorah.
Okay.
It's illuminated.
Yeah, okay. They just stand by it and they go, well, we're done.
Yo mama is so fat.
There's a quote from a Wiz fan, Washington Wizards, on why he still owns season tickets. There's a reporter going around asking Wizards season tickets holder, what do you think? Mm-hmm. Why? Why do you keep putting up with this?
Valid question.
His answer was that he loves basketball. He said, I'd watch your mother play my mother on pay-per-view, and my mother's dead, but she's tough, so you never know. Compared John Wall's game to his dead mother. Steve Kerr was very critical of his coaching performance after a game this week. He was asked how he coached tonight. He said, oh my God, I did such a good job tonight. I just went in and looked at the mirror and winked.
That Kerr.
Such sarcasm from Coach Kerr. Sticking with the Warriors, Klay Thompson was reminded of the Cavaliers' 2016 Halloween party that featured Thompson and Steph Curry on those tombstone cookies.
Oh, yeah. You remember this?
Thompson's reply was, oh, yeah, ha, that was funny. Look how that turned out. Psh, bums. That was crazy. I forgot about that. Well, look at what pettiness gets you. Gets you 1-8 in the finals, idiots.
Okay. I like that. I like the bums and the idiots. Those are...
Klay Thompson. He's really been riled up since Draymond and Kevin Durant, his parents, are about to get a divorce. But the winner of this week's Diss of the Week was Kobe Bryant. He was at a special Lakers event at Staples Center this year and started talking about the Lakers' title chances. He said, we'll be champions before you know it, and laughing at all the Warriors fans that all of a sudden came out of nowhere.
That's right.
On the next episode of Brick House,
we'll break down the rising tide of trade rumors as December 15th approaches and guys signed over the summer are eligible to be traded.
Mm-hmm.
Who will LeBron banish to the underworld this year? And we still wonder why the young free agent stars don't want to play with him. Plus, we just might make some way too early all-star predictions. Remember this year, the players' draft of the teams will be televised.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if all the all-stars are going to be there, though. Because what is the point of televising this draft if not to have the reaction shots?
Right.
Are we going to have Russell Westbrook on Skype just sitting there with smoke coming out of his nose every pick that goes by that's not him? All that and more on our next episode of Brick House.